morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Truckers Podcast, FYI. I'm your host, Doug, from Ontario, Canada. It is 8:32 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here on the 16th of March. I hope everybody had a great week. Here we are into the weekend. And, by the way, this is the last weekend, officially the last weekend of winter. Spring comes along on Tuesday, the officially will be spring. It is also the last weekend of the March break here in Ontario, Canada. Starting Monday morning, the kids will be back in school. So be careful out there. Watch for the school buses. They'll be back out on the road. Once again, and in other news, I'm just going to bring this up real fast. Okay, I don't know why this isn't working here, but I have to go on my phone. Okay, I'm just going to go on my phone and find it, because this is real exciting for me, and you do not want to miss this coming on the 31st of March. Funny how I can get this on my phone, but I can't bring it up on my laptop. So, this will be my first guest on my podcast. His name is Ethan Brown. I'm going to give you a little bit of background, just a little tease. I'll have it on again. I'll mention it again at the end of the show. He is an award-winning climate journalist, best known and founder and the host of the Sweaty Penguin, a PPS podcast combating climate anxiety, polarization. He has interviewed renowned experts from 18 countries and 6 continents and earned recognition at the Webby Awards and Sigma Awards. And he won first place in Boston University for a new adventure competition. That's the information I'm going to give you for now. So March 31st at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Mr. Ethan Brown will be here live on the Truckers Podcast, FYI. Now, schools across Ontario are looking for more money from the government, and they want the government to double the funding in order to be able to have food on hand for those who don't bring enough or don't bring anything. It's like the Breakfast Club. Dividing up what they have between students. You know, for an example, they would get half of a hard-boiled egg or apple cut six ways. So then each student would get a piece of an apple, or they get a half of a hard-boiled egg. Why not the whole boiled egg? Why not the whole apple? Why not the whole orange, banana, whatever? They're asking the government to double the program from $32 million to $64 million for the remainder of the school year. Now, here we are in the middle of March, and, you know, here we go with, you know, April, May, June, 3.5 months, and school will be out for the summer. Of course, we know with the soaring inflation costs, you know, the cost of food. Families struggling. You know, with the student programs, soaring inflation for families, and the number of new immigrants across the province. Here in Ontario. And what we have now is a perfect storm. That goes without saying, for people to be able to rent with the soaring cost of inflation, buying food, trying to find a place to rent. That is also a perfect storm. So the student nutritional program is to serve more right now, it's used to serve more of a band-aid, filling in gaps for some families or helping a child who forgot their lunch. But the need is becoming more sharply pronounced. So these nutritional programs are something that families are relying on more often. And they're relying on and leaning on them heavily. And the simple fact that they can't afford their groceries. Now the food, you know, it just doesn't go to low-income families as a core. You know, students who are in high need of situation is stigmatizing, embarrassing. It perpetuates the feeling of shame and isolation. So it really doesn't matter if the child is in need, but you're not just going to turn down other kids in the school if they wanted an apple, they wanted a banana, they wanted an orange, or something else to eat. The government, you know, they put in like $6.5 million in additional money into the program this year alone, and including $5 million in the fall. Now, you think that the So in one area, the portion of the $5 million in funding meant $4.29 for each participating student for the entire year. One healthy snack cost $1.50 on average. And right now, the steep increases of food inflation are putting added pressure on already tight budgets. Heat and hydro's gone up, rent has gone up. Doug Ford, the premier, build more homes faster. He wants to build something like 1.5 million homes. Here in the city of London, where I reside, thousand plus new London apartments nearly ready, but it's not enough. Talking about London's apartment rental market, we'll see some relief this year with more than 1,000 units soon to be available, but it may take a decade to meet demand. Unfortunately, we don't have a decade. Especially when it comes to London. So, London's vacancy rate is at an all-time low of 1.7% vacancy rate. And why that is because people can't afford to move anywhere. Staying put. If they're lucky enough to be paying $800 a month for a one-bedroom apartment, or maybe $1,000 for a two-bedroom apartment, they're not moving because they know they can't afford any more than what they're already paying. Now, as I'm scrolling down here, I'm going to give you what the rent of these new builds, so 1,000 apartments, they're expected to hit the market by the year's end. On the south side, they'll be renting 98 apartments units in October, and one building at Southdale Road charging $1,800 to $2,100 a month for a one and two bedroom units. It began renting a 78 building on another street in Northeast London in November with a two bedroom apartment starting at $2,050. Low earner income obviously can't afford that. What I'm thinking is that people are selling their house because they don't want to have the upkeep anymore. They want to retire and they're moving into these places and they're the ones who can afford it and or also high earner professionals are be renting these apartments. But nobody in the low end of the income is going to be able to afford. $1,800 to $2,100 a month for a one or two bedroom apartment. If you're making $1,765, $18 an hour, you're not going to be able to afford this. These are corporate builders, corporations that are building this. prices keep going up at some of these places here. There's another building that'll be ready. One bedroom apartments rent for $1,600 and two bedrooms rent for $2,100. Then that's expected to house more than 1,000 people when it's done. Another one is older properties. They're beginning to lease a 122-unit building downtown, offering a 1,400-square-foot, two-bedroom units, and they still haven't set the price on these luxury units, and I could imagine they're going to be anywhere from $1,800 to $2,500 a month. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Doug. This is the Truckers Podcast, FYI. Talking a little bit about the food insecurity in schools. The schools are asking the provincial government to double the funding from $32 million to $64 million. As you know, with inflation and the cost of living on the rise, so many families out there are struggling to put food on the table, pay their bills, pay their rent. Talking a little bit about housing because, the provincial government Build More Homes Faster program, to get people housed. But who can afford it? Buildings that are going up in and around the city right now and ready to be leased out, are going anywhere from $1,800 to $2,500 a month. I'm not sure how many low-income people are out there here in Ontario, specifically the largest populated province of all of Canada, with a little over 16 million that live in this province. Population of Canada is 40 million. I think maybe that people who work in Walmart and Costco, people who work in the grocery stores, other essential services that people work in, are essentially earning well under $25 an hour. We have an increase of rental evictions happening, meaning property owners issuing rental eviction notices in order to get that tenant out because that tenant is paying rent that they can afford for, say an example, it's, $700 a month for a one bedroom apartment that they've been paying for years. And they want them out. And they only want them out for one reason, and that is to double or triple the rent. Not to have the tenant move back in because the tenant has the first right of refusal. And if the tenant decides to say, yeah, I'm moving back in, the tenant will still pay the same rent that we're paying. If they were paying $800 a month, that's what they'd be paying $800 a month after the renovations are done. But what's happening is the landlords aren't telling them when it's done. And they're just re-renting it for double or triple the rent. Now, the big builders, big corporations here building all these high rises in and around the city, they're ecstatic that these apartments are becoming available ranging from $1,800 to $2,500 a month for 1 and 2 bedroom apartments. How is that affordability and for who? People who were selling their house or sold their house or ready for retirement. They don't have the upkeep on the property anymore, so they just want to move in to a nice building and they'll be able to afford it. But what about the average Joe, the average worker? To be able to afford even at $1,600 a month, if you were making $20 an hour, you wouldn't be able to afford $1,600 a month. If you're making $25 an hour, you more than likely won't be able to afford $1,600 a month. That's not factoring in on these new builds. You're going to be paying the heat and hydro for your unit. So you're going to be paying the water and heat. On these new bills, and now they started charging for parking every month to park your vehicle on the property. That'll range anywhere from $25 to $30 a month. Now you factor in the cost of food. If you drive a vehicle and if you don't own it outright, you still have bank payments on your car, and you're making $25 an hour, there's no possible way that you'd be able to afford even $1,600 a month for a one bedroom, never mind $2,100 a month for a two. Unless you got double income, no kids, then you won't have any problems. Social housing for people who need it, 10-year waiting list. People who need social housing in a unit to meet their special needs, a 12-year waiting list. There's another building going up. It'd be a 122-unit building. It's downtown. A 1,400-square-foot, 2-bedroom units, and that price has not been set on these luxury units. I can imagine they're probably going to be anywhere from $1,800 to $2,300 a month. People who are staying like these older buildings, people who are staying in their apartments, you know, paying $700-$800 a month, they've been paying that for years. They can't afford to move anywhere. But if they do move for whatever reasons, then that $800 apartment now would be $1,600 to $1,800 because there's no regulations on how much they can raise the rent after somebody moves out. If people stay in these buildings, these older buildings, the rent only goes up 2.5% a year. And when these older buildings are sold and big corporations buy them up, they don't want people in there paying $800 a month or $750 a month. They want people in there paying double or triple the rent. And that's where these rental evictions come in. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to set a budget based on $25 an hour, and at the cost of the rents today, so then I would have to have money to pay my rent, buy groceries, pay for my car, gas, have to have set aside money for maintenance. Other necessities, clothing. Let's see if it works. And what results I'll have back for tomorrow morning's show at 8:30 in the morning. And see if it's actually doable. Now, I'm just talking one person, just a single person. And then also, can you do it for a family? Not necessarily are there two people working in the same house, having a double income, which would be nice. That makes it that much easier. But I don't know how, you know, these corporate builders can be proud of what they're building, and the mayor and the city councilors. How can they be ecstatic about these new builds and the unaffordability? What's going to be like in 3 years? What it's going to be like in 5 years? Is the inflation just going to keep rising? Is it going to steady off? I don't know. I know one thing for sure. The federal government is going to raise the carbon tax. That'd be cost more for heating your home, putting gas in your car. It costs more to fill up the transport trucks that deliver all the goods that we buy. And putting more pressure on families. Even I couldn't afford one of these apartments. Believe it or not. It's ridiculous. There's another 12-story, 169-unit building this year. And it's in the fourth and final phase at the West Meadow Estates. And they just started leasing in the last month, and they have leased over 40 units. And that rent starts about $1,700. I'm taking that's for a one bedroom, $1,700. Now, there is a new site that they were building. It was at the old hospital in the South End, actually the hospital that I was born in back in the early 60s. And they are building a mix of affordable and geared to income and market rate apartments. And that first tower is expected to begin renting this fall, with one of the builders is expecting to open up more than 200 market rent apartments. See, this whole thing, this whole area of that where that hospital once stood was supposed to be affordable, geared to income, all of it. Not market rent. And here we go, you know, with these big corporations. They decide what they're going to do because it belongs to them. They are building it. See, we're falling behind in builds anyways in the city, and you know, the provincial government was offering a build faster fund, and you would get this money if you were on target, and which the city I reside in is not on target, so they're not getting that build faster fund, and they'll have to reapply again. And hopefully that, you know, they're on target. There's other areas that they're developing. It's not very far from where I reside. Big corporations, once again, it's got their mitts in it. And there's going to be high rises, single homes, townhomes. It's going to add an additional 9 streets to the city. And not one of those places are going to be affordable for the average Canadian. We might as well just get our tents out now and put them up all around the city, because you're not going to be able to afford anything else. The vacancy rate here in the city is something like 1.7%. Nobody's moving because nobody can afford to move. Hanging on to what they have. Even for first-time home buyers, I mean, unless you make a a five-figure income. And that, and they're saying that even like for the city that I reside in, and it's one of the cheaper cities to live in Canada. But you'd have to be making a five-figure income, because houses, they're well over 700,000. And depending on where you live in the city, million-dollar homes. It'll take you a lifetime to save for a down payment. Unless you're making five figures. If you go back 20 years, you know, if you were making $15 an hour, $20 an hour, you know, houses were, you know, 80,000. You needed only 5% down. Your mortgage would be, you know, $650 to $700 a month. And it was doable. Not anymore. They think the homeless crisis and the rental crisis, the affordability crisis is bad right now. What's coming down the road is going to be a lot worse. These builders, these big corporations are not on board for affordability. They got to make sure their stakeholders get paid, because the more rent they charge, the more money their stakeholders get. They got to make their stakeholders happy, because they'll just move on and they'll find somebody to invest their money in so they get a lucrative return. And they don't give a shit about the little people. And especially when it comes to families, you know, in women and children who are in an abusive relationship. How the hell are they going to get out of it? They can't afford to move. They're trapped. And the perpetrator knows this. The abuser knows this. We don't have enough emergency shelters. We don't have enough affordable places for them to go. We don't have enough social housing for a place for them to go. And we're building all these high-end homes, high-end apartments, and out of the reach for millions of Canadians who therefore can't afford it. It's ridiculous. And to hear that they're going to have a mix of affordable, geared to income, and market rate apartments on this land, where this hospital stood, it was supposed to be a mix of affordable and geared to income, not market rate apartments. See, once these builders have the land in their hand, they can build whatever they want on it, charge whatever they want. Even after they agreed, oh, this is going to be geared to income and mix of affordable geared to income, not high-end apartments. Or rents, but but they're doing just that. Now, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, my phone is ringing off the hook and it's on silent, but I can't answer it right now. So at the beginning of my show, I mentioned on the 31st, of March at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm going to have a guest speaker here on the Truckers Podcast, FYI. His name is Ethan Brown. He's a climate journalist. He's also best known and founder of the Sweaty Penguin Podcast. And PPS Podcast, Combating Climate Anxiety Polarization. He has interviewed world-renowned experts from 18 countries and 6 continents. That's a little bit of information that I am going to give you, keeping a little bit of suspense. I know it is the Easter weekend at the end of the month. We both emailing each other back and forth of what was a suitable time, you know, to work or, you know, around our schedules. And that's what we came up with. And that's what we're sticking with. And that's what we're going with. So March 31st at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Mr. Ethan Brown will be live here on the Truckers Podcast. And don't you dare miss it. I'm excited about this. You should be too. But I will be doing a show in between on my weekends leading up to that. Of course, tomorrow morning I'll be doing a show at 8:30 in the morning again. I'll have that posted up after I'm done this one and get this one published. So until tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, enjoy your weekend. It is officially the last weekend of winter. Spring begins Tuesday. You should be excited about that. I'm excited about that. So until tomorrow morning, if you can join me, that's great. If you can't, I understand. Have yourselves a great weekend. Take care. And again, I will mention again tomorrow about the guest coming on at the end of the month and podcast leading up to that show. And of course, the day before on the 30th, a reminder will be going out there again. So please join me Saturday morning, Sunday mornings. It is going to be a 1 p.m. though on that 31st, because that was the availability for this guest. We'll worry about that when we get to it. But generally, Saturday morning, Sunday morning, 8:30, come out and join the Truckers Podcast. Thank you. Take care. Have a good weekend. This is the podcast.